I tell you what, I know this got a lot of guys with some big hearts. All I know is for 3 hours or however long, maybe 4 hours, we're the best team in the country today. And it's offense, defense, and special teams. It's some guys like Darren McFadden, baby.
I love you.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman. You better put him up there. I'm tired of him being number 4.
We got that wood right here, baby.
Somebody better look at this guy. He's the best football player in the country. And his name's not being mentioned. Lou Holtz, Mark May, number 5. You better look at him a little closer. He's a football player.
This is former coach Houston Nutt, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Welcome into hour number 3 of The Morning Rush, going to the phone lines and welcoming in CBS college football analyst and former Arkansas Razorback head coach Houston Nutt. Coach, good morning. Thank you so much for making some time for us.
Good morning.
So, Coach, we were talking about this past segment. Nick Saban had some comments yesterday talking about that he thinks it's safer for players to be on campus than it would be back at their house. Coach, kind of what's your take on what Coach Saban had to say yesterday?
You know, without being on the inside and without knowing the data of everything that he's keeping up, I'm sure with the players that he's had on campus since June or however long the players have been there, you know, I'm sure they're keeping up. You know, the medical people keeping up who's been sick, who hadn't been sick. And so evidently he feels pretty strong about the environment that he has where nobody is getting sick. And they're keeping them healthy. Now, what to me the question is, you know, why did the Pac-12 and Big Ten come out when they did and say, hey, I guess their data saying there's no way they can play. They say no. So I'm just curious. I'd like to, you know, sit in and hear what they have to say on both sides. But getting back to your question, Coach Saban obviously feels very strong about that, about the safety of the players, because the one thing we know, you know, you have somebody's most valuable possession. You have somebody's son, and you want safety. You want to keep them healthy, and obviously, you know, he feels pretty good about it.
Coach, you mentioned the Pac-12 and the Big Ten postponing their seasons to 2021. What was your reaction when you heard about that yesterday?
Well, I was just, you know, like probably a lot of us, I'm disappointed. I just wish that. I like what Commissioner Sankey's doing, and ACC, Big 12. They're going as long as they can to find out all the information they can, and to see if they can make it happen to play football. And you know, we all would like to play, but also, you know, we want to be healthy too. You want to be safe. I understand that, but I'm just curious why the Pac-12 and Big Ten. You know, what is their data? You know, what's the difference between Coach Saban's group and the players that he has, they have on their campus? You know, what's going on, you know, as far as that? And I'm just curious to me, you know, when the students, if the students get back on campus, you know, how does that work? You know, we're watching the NBA play, and they're more or less, they're in a bubble, and where you can probably monitor things much, much easier if you got everybody under, you know, one roof, and you're watching everything as they come and go. I understand that. But I'm just scared. I just wish that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would have waited a little bit longer and do what the SEC, Big 12, or the ACC is doing.
Coach, what about practice? Full contact, full-scale practice. If you were a head coach, would you be willing to start that level of practice without a high level of certainty of playing games this year?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, you know, Dean Weber, the trainer, the doctors, the experts, you know that they're going to be there and give you all the information that you need. And then, you know, to me, you go from there. You know, you're going to take their opinion and you're going to go from there. If a doctor says there's no way, you got too many people infected or too many people that have, you know, the COVID and it's spreading. I mean, that's one thing. You can't do it. But if the doctors and the experts say, hey, you've got things under control and things are safe, yes.
Yeah. I think that's the next big indicator is, does the SEC push back the start of what is scheduled to be, I think, next Monday the 17th, of full-scale, full-contact practices? Is that the next thing you're looking for as an announcement one way or the other about what the league does with practices?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just very curious. You know, how the SEC, the Big 12, ACC, I'm very curious, you know, their next announcement. You know, how are they going to go about things now, and what are they looking looking for and all the data that they have? What are they doing? I'm just real curious how this is going to work out.
Houston Nutt with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, you are a fantastic motivator. We've had former players come on this program time and time again and relive and tell us great stories. If you were a head coach right now and you're trying to keep your guys motivated, keep them on the straight and narrow thinking that they're going to play this season, how would you go about doing that when other leagues seem to be canceling college football this year?
Yeah, I would. The biggest message to me, if I was coaching a team, would be, you know, let's just control what we can control. We're in uncharted waters, first and foremost. This is different. And so we don't know. And so we're going to listen. We're going to listen to the experts. We're going to listen to our doctors and trainers. And they're going to have a blueprint for us, and we're going to follow that. And until that time comes, we're going to do what they tell us to do. We're able to work out. Hey, we're going to enjoy it. And we got to remember, you can't take these times for granted. You know, everybody now really wants to play and really wants to work out. There's been times where sometimes players really didn't want to work out, didn't want to, you know, the grind of it, you know. So it makes you really appreciate and realize, you know, how precious the times are. It's the greatest game in the world, and you want to play, but you can't take it for granted ever. And sometimes it will go away, and hopefully though, it will come back sooner than later, and we can get back to normal. But you just don't know,
Coach. You talk about the memories you had as not only a player but a football coach. How bad do you feel for the guys in Columbus, Ann Arbor, Los Angeles, the guys that aren't going to get to play for how hard they worked in the offseason?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was thinking about that. You know, as coaches and players, you know, the effort and the time, and boy, you're excited, especially as a senior. Well, this could be your last year. You know, that's disappointing. You know, it really is. It's tough times. And, you know, I was thinking maybe there may be some guys that would want to transfer if the SEC or the ACC or Big 12, if they decide to play and they think they can do it safely. I'll be curious to see what happens if a senior or some of these players would they be able to transfer and to go to a place where they can play and finish it out. But, you don't know. It's tough. It's just tough, you know, especially if you're missing your last year.
Coach, on the note of transfers, that was something Tommy and I were discussing this morning. What is your opinion on if those players should or shouldn't be immediately allowed to transfer and immediately eligible for the conferences that have decided they're not going to play college football in the fall of 2020?
Well, you know, we live in a different time. When you look at the last couple of years and look at all the transfers that have transferred, and you look at each case individually, how many times did you see one he declared immediately eligible? Mm-hmm. So to me, we kind of live in a time where things are changing more for the student athlete, where they're able to play immediately, no sitting out. And I would guess they would lean that way to me. In the world that we're in right now, what I've seen the last couple of years, I would say they'd probably lean to let that player, especially a senior, his last year wanting to play, I would say they would probably grant him a chance to go finish it, go play.
So then how do you deal with scholarship limitations? If you've already filled your 85, who are you pulling one away from, Coach?
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, you gotta have a spot. It's not right. You can't be pulling scholarships from somebody else that's already committed. Yeah. You can't do that. If you have 85, you have 85. You don't. But there's a lot of schools that won't have 85, maybe didn't sign their 25, and they're the ones that will be on the market and trying to sell that young man. Hey, we got a spot, we got a scholarship. But if you're full, you need to stay full.
Have you talked to Sam? Have you talked to Coach Pittman during all of this? And can you even imagine being not just first year at a school, but first year as a head coach at this level, and then dealing with a crisis of this nature?
You know, I've never met Coach Pittman. I've just admired him from afar. I love what I've heard so far, you know, some of his press conferences. But no, to answer your question, it'd be hard to imagine, you know, not being able to be on the field yet with your team. You didn't have a spring, and you know, the players truly still don't know you, how you want things done on the field, that would be difficult. That's a hard, and there's a lot of coaches like that. If you look across the country, you know, from Missouri to the Mississippi schools, there's a lot of first year coaches that hadn't been on the field with their players yet. So extremely hard. Yes, absolutely.
You were always known as a coach that fought for his players, always labeled as a player's coach. And I think you took pride in that. There's a big movement right now amongst the players to have a stronger voice, to gain a little more say in the direction of the sport on each campus and collectively as players. How do you think the direction of the sport is going to go with players? And where do you see the sport evolving with players having more of a voice over the next few seasons?
Yeah, the voice from the players is definitely getting louder. I would just always, you know, remind the players that, I mean, these are the greatest days of your life. These are the best. And you get a lot of good things. You know, you get a great education. You get tutors. You get a lot of things you take for granted, a lot of good food, and everything that you need, training room, doctors, all those things. And so I'd be careful. You know, I saw the list of the mans the Pac-12 did, and it just seemed like, to me, they went a little bit far. I can understand the Medicare, and I can understand the insurance on some of the things on down the line. I get all that. That's good. But, you know, to keep asking, you know, they said 50% of the revenue and this and that. I remember when I got a $6.25 laundry check, and I was excited about it. And at Wilson Sharp, to be able to have that $6.25, a couple of dollars for gas, a couple of dollars for hamburgers, and maybe even time for a movie. You know, you had that extra, and players deserve that. There's no question. And I know money at times have changed. Yeah. But if you look at what they have now with cost of attendance, some players still have Pell Grant. And so it's a good time to be a student athlete. It's a good time to be a football or basketball player, or baseball player. I think it's a good time. And I wouldn't keep pushing too hard for so many things. It's good to hear your voice and let everybody hear it. But to me, you can go a little bit too far by asking for so much. And to me, it takes away from the other sports.
Is there a need for a players association or a players union?
I wouldn't think so. I know there'll be a lot of people that would disagree with me. I think there's nothing wrong with players, you know, voicing their, you know, coming to their coach, or, you know, we always had team meetings and senior meetings and have your seniors, you want those voices, you know, you want to know what your team's thinking and things that they really desire. I understand all that, but I don't know. I'm a little bit on the other side. I don't really think so. I just know for the majority across the country, most coaches want your players to graduate. They want them safe, and they want to make them the best player they can be.
Coach Houston Nutt with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, one of the elements that Tommy and I talked about earlier is these players in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten that were vying for big-time college football trophies, like Justin Fields being in the Heisman conversation. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. We talked to Darren a couple months ago and talked about kind of 2006-2007, the Heisman element there. Which loss of the Heisman Trophy between those 2 years do you think Darren Moore deserved, Coach, in 2006 or 2007?
Well, he was right there both years, but the 2007, if you go back and look what he did, he really deserved it. He deserved that trophy, and there's so many times he put us on his back, and he carried us, and he did so many things, and I can give you a great example. Remember in the spring where your coaches, you go to Destin and you have spring meetings. I can remember Urban Meyer sitting there at the table with Nick Saban. He says, "Hey, I hope you don't mind. I took the film click of a kickoff return of Darren McFadden making the block for Felix Jones. And really his block was the difference in him having a 100-yard touchdown run. I told him, this is a true All-American. This is what an unselfish guy does. And I told him on top of that, I said, you're right, Urban. And I said, on top of that, on Sunday, the first thing we'd watch together would be special teams, and he would always come punch me and says, watch my block. He would never say, watch my run, you know, watch my 50-yard touchdown run or my 80-yard run. He'd say, watch my block. And so that's what kind of pride and the unselfishness that he had. So my vote would be 2007. If you talk to Kevin Traynor, who I thought just did a marvelous job of setting things up, and you know, as far as the, you know, really helping him advertise the his highlights and all those things. There's just no question to me. He, you know, I'm partial, but he deserved it.
Yeah. The bats that got that wood that you gave the players as an inspiration that week. Where did the idea come from, and what made you use that week as a tool to inspire the players?
Yeah, in the Brewers complex, Norm DeBrine, Robert Cox, they were great. Well, I'd always sometimes just to kind of get away when we had a break, I'd go sit in their office and just talk to Norm DeBrine, who was great. You know, he had such wisdom. Robert Cox, just great, you know, just a companion that they're just great people that loved Arkansas and loved their game, whether it be baseball, tennis, or football. You know, they were just team players. Well, I went in Norm DeBrine's office that one week, and I saw this little miniature bat. And I asked Norm, where did you get that? And he said, Mariucci or something. So I went down to Dean Weber's office. I said, Dean, I really want this miniature bat with a Razorback on it. And I want our players to be, I want to send a message of, hey, let's bring this wood. Let's bring it. You know, I thought we were softer. I can't remember which week it was during that year, but there's a couple of weeks before the LSU game, I thought we were a little bit soft at times. And so Thursday night, I always met with the team 48 hours prior to the game by myself, which is Dean Weber, myself, and the players. And I never will forget opening up this little closet door there in that team meeting room. And at the very end, I said, hey, guys, by the way, before we get on this bus and get on this airplane, I got something for you. I got a little surprise for you. But I don't want you to take one unless you're really going to do what this thing says. And so they were really puzzled about what's going on. So when we opened up that closet and those bats fell out, I said, everybody take one, read it. And so I had that Razorback emblem on there, a Razorback hog on there. And then it said, bring the wood. And I tell you, Darren – and those guys, it's amazing how many the players they just took to it.
Yeah.
And so I just remind them, hey, look, if you're going to pick up this bat, you got to bring the wood.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to say, let's stay physical. We've always been known for a tough team, but let's stay physical and let's finish the year. Yeah. And really, Dean did a great job of getting those bats ordered, and he got about 80 of them, and every one of them took them on the plane. And I remember the LSU. One of the officers, the state troopers, LSU, said, hey, Darren, you can't bring that bat here on the field. And they were looking at me, and then Dean said, hey, let me have that, Darren. You can't have it. But anyway, he snuck it on the field. If you notice that clip that y'all played,
yeah.
If you watch close, he's got that baseball bat with him.
He's got that wood. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you need a bat to get out of Baton Rouge sometimes, particularly after you win.
That's a true statement, I promise you.
So, Coach, the two videos we posted about you coming on this morning was that win, the postgame interview you did with Tracy Wolfson, and then the 27-6 Cotton Bowl win over the University of Texas. I know it's tough, but which win did you enjoy more?
Well, both of them are great. The 2000 Cotton Bowl was really good because I grew up, remember, watching the Southwest Conference. So it was always in my mind, Texas was the big giant in that conference. And if you look at the record, you know, the Texas really dominated the league. And when you beat them, which was rare, it was big. So that was a big one. That was the first time we won a bowl game in probably 15 years. But I've got to say the LSU, anytime you go to LSU, it's one of my favorite places to play, especially when it got dark. Their fans are just unbelievable. And they were rocking. And even our section of fans, though, that were there, they were rocking, too. And we were the loudest at the end. So I'd probably say we beat the number one team in the nation that night. I'd say that one.
Coach, before we let you go, I know you're in Dallas now. My brother and his roommates, they go to a different barbecue place every single Saturday. Of all the places you've been down in Dallas, Texas, I know some great barbecue down there. What's your go-to favorite?
Okay, I got a good one for you now. And there's a lot of good ones down here. You're right. You tell your brother to go to Hutchins Barbecue McKinney.
Okay.
McKinney, all right.
Hutchins. You can't go wrong.
What, okay. You get brisket, you get rib, what do you get there when you go?
Well, I get a mixture. I'm really bad. I get a mixture of brisket, I get ribs, and here's what they do. They make this jalapeno and they stuff it with cream cheese and chopped up brisket. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Coach, you're a hell of a motivator, and you're getting me motivated to eat some barbecue.
You're getting me motivated to go to McKinney, Texas.
Jeez.
There you go. There you go.
Coach, good to talk to you. Thanks for stopping by.
You bet. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right,
absolutely. Coach Houston Nutt, kind enough to give some time for us on the morning rush and making us hungry.
Cream cheese, brisket filled, smoked jalapeno pepper. I'm all in.
I can do that.
I got that wood.
I love that little tidbit of that an LSU officer stopped Darren McFadden, said, you can't bring that bat. And Dean said, give it back.
Great story.
And then, you know, he did it anyway. And that, again, I mean, someone debate me on this. Is that not the best postgame interview of all time when it comes to Arkansas sports? So, great story. Great insight from former Arkansas coach Houston Nutt.